Okay, Shalom Aleichem, welcome everybody. There was just one point which we didn't get to on the previous Makoro sheet, which was the question Ramban had on the Balamor. There's a lot of people here and a lot of background noise, so I'll ask everyone to please mute yourself. Unless you want to ask a question. If you want to ask a question, just unmute yourself. Or apparently, if you press the space bar, you can just talk while the space bar is pressed. That's what Morty told me. And that way, you remain muted when you finish talking.
Chodesh Tov.
Chodesh Tov, everybody. One second. Where's Morty? Morty, where are you?
Mute myself, then I'll go to the top more. Now I should be closer.
Here
to
you
the
are.
Top.
Okay. Morty, I made you a co-host, so if necessary, you might be able to mute someone if there's background noise coming from them.
Okay.
Okay, I hope that works. You know, I'm not as good as technology as Morty and the other young people. Okay, there's one question we didn't get to last time, which was the Ramban's question on the Balamor. He had a very clever mimonashach, because the Balamor, and not just the Balamor, Rabbeinu Yochanan, Dimei, all the people held by the Balamor, said two things. What did the Balamor say? What two things did the Balamor say? Number one, he held that Trumas Hadeshen needs a Kohen Gadol. Trumas Hadeshen by Kohen Gadol. Why did Trumas Hadeshen need Kohen Gadol? Because it was part of Avodas Hayom, right? He didn't hold from this Avodas Laila Heter, right? Why? Because it's part of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, right? Part of the Avoda. But on the other hand, what else did the Balamor hold? That, and here the Balamor himself didn't say anything, but all the Balitosos say this on behalf of the Balamor Shita. They said, even though, right, what was the Kasha? The Kasha was only 5 Kilos and 10 Kiddushin. Kiddushin, Kiddushin, Daikrag, Light. And if the Kohen Gadol know that 5 and 10 starts counting from Alos HaShachar, when they bring the Kohen Gadol down to the Beis HaTfilah, and he does the first of 5 Kilos and then the first of 10 Kiddushin, and he puts on the first of 5 tefillos, puts on his big day zahav, which are the regular 8 garments described in Parshat Tzaveh, then does the first of 10 kiddushin, and then shechts the tamid. But if the Trumas Hadeshen before that, obviously he has to at least do kiddush and divrei glayim, and probably tovel also to do the Trumas Hadeshen. So then there's more than the requisite number, right? But yet there's a mishnah and halacha Moshe Sinai that you have exactly 5, right? 5 kiddushin and 5 tefillos and 10 kiddushin. So what did the Balamor have to answer? The Balamor didn't say anything. He just said the Balakutim are wrong. He didn't say anything. But what did all the Balitosos answer on his behalf? Well, we showed him the answer on behalf of the Shita. They said that the tevila, the kiddush for Trumas Hadeshen doesn't count towards the 5 and 10, because it's a Laila. And the 5 and 10 are only counting on Zerba Yom. And ask the Ramban, Mimonashach. The Ramban asked Mimonashach. He said, hold on a second. If you're going to count Trumas Hadeshen as part of the day, then I understand you need to coin Gadol. But then the Tefillah and Kiddush for Trumas Hadeshen should count, and it should be, you know, 6 and 12. And if you're not going to count that as part of the day, then it shouldn't need a Kohen Gadol. Like, why do you require Kohen Gadol to count it as part of the Avodah of the day? But yet, you don't count it in the list of the Halacha Moshe Misinai. It doesn't ruin the Halacha Moshe Misinai of 5 Tefillos and Kiddushin, because it's only at night, so it doesn't count. It's a valid question. So, how do you answer this question? So, let's ask the Ramban. Mimonashach. If it's during the day, if it's counted as part of the Avodah Tayom, then you have 6 and 12, and you're in trouble. And if it's not part of the part of the Avodah Tayom, then you shouldn't need a Kohen Gadol. That's the Ramban's question. So I must admit, if you take it this way, If you take it this way, then it's a good question, because we're considering it part of the day, considering not part of the day. The Rav has two answers to this. One of which is a sort of like, an answer that sort of begs the question. What did the Rav say? the Rav says, and this is what all the Bali Tosos say, right? What did the Rav answer? So the Rav gives two answers. What did the Rav say? His first answer is that it's in between status. It's, let's call it Hechsher Avodas Hayom, right? It's not the Avodas Hayom, HaKippurim, but it's something which is, it's not just finishing up last night. It is connected to Hechsher Avodas Hayom. It is perhaps that Tchilas Avodas Hayom in some sense. So the Rebbe says, in between status, it's Avodas Laila, but Hechsher Avodas Yom. And therefore, once it has an in-between status, then you can sort of get away with saying, well, for one person like this, for another person like that, even though he doesn't really totally explain. Therefore, since it is preparation of Avodas Yom, it needs a Kohen Gadol. But since it's really not the Avodas Yom, therefore, it doesn't count towards the count of 5 plus 10. Okay, you could say it's sort of in between, and it needs a Kohen Gadol, but it's not included in the count.
I understood the Rav differently. I understood that what he meant Hechsher is that the Trumas HaDeshen is Avodas Hayom. It's just that you can't do it without this. But it's not that this. It's not that Tefillah. It's not that the Kiddush and the Tefillah needs Kohen Gadol. It's just that the Kohen Gadol has to do the Avodah, and he can't do it without it.
Exactly. He has to do the Kohen Gadol. He has the total and Yipadish Yadayim for Klai. That's required for Avodah. But since it's not Avodah Hayom, it's not considered the Tefillah and Kiddush of the Halacha Moshe Sina Yom Kippur.
I mean, the
count of all of which we've seen, I only include the Avodas Hayom Mamash, not the prep for Avodas Hayom.
The difference
is the prep, but the count of the Tefillos and Kiddushin is only for the Avodas Hayom Mamash. Of course, he has to do it, but he doesn't have to do it as part of the Avodas Hayom.
In other words, but the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim and the Tefillah of the rest, the other 10 are part of the Avodas Hayom themselves, not just the Hechsher.
Correct. Now, the second answer the Rav gives is much more clever. Says the Rav, here's a big chiddush, right? Barachatz b'mayim es b'saro. What's the next word in the chumash? Ulevesham, right? Ofashat es barachatz b'saro b'mayim b'kom kadosh v'yatzayim. Ufashat es b'gdei abad ashel avat v'ol ha'kodosh v'yicham sham. I understand, I'm cutting where it's convenient to be cut. But nonetheless, the Rechitz is often associated with the Begadol. And what's interesting is you could take this in two ways. Why does he have to do 5 Tvilos and 10 Kiddushin Yadayim Raglayim? Right? So you could say, well, because he's going to 5 places. Why 5 places? He's going to Bachutz, he's going to Bethim, he's going to Bachutz, he's going to Bethim, he's going to Bachutz. So he's doing 5 avodas. But you could also say it's because he's wearing 5 sets of clothing. Big day Zahav, big day Lavan, big day Zahav, big day Lavan, big day Zahav, right? Hopefully you remember all of this from Davening and Yom Kippur. So says the Rav, these tefillos and kiddushin are associated with the begadim. He makes a few kiddushin. Here, this is the big chiddush of the Rav. Says the Rav, says the Rav that no, that the 5 tefillos, the 5 tefillos plus 10 kiddushin are for the mitzvahs levishas begadim, not for the avodah. Now again, obviously we know there's a din d'rabbanan, everyone who does avodah has the total. Okay, but that's not this halacha Moshe Sinai. We know there's a din d'oraisa, everyone who does avodah has to do kiddush and I rabbi once. That's not this halacha of Sinai. This halacha of Sinai, what's special, one of the things special at Yom Kippur is the special begotten. Not only they're special, they love it, they're going to go to Yom Kippur, but they're special switching back and forth five times of begotten. And the din of the special halacha of Sinai, the special extra tefillos of Kiddusha for the going to go to Yom Kippur, are for the Levishas begotten. That's the big fish. That's the chiddush of the run. For the Levishas begotten, not for the avodah. It's associated with the avodah. That is a. On the one hand, it's not such a big kiddush. I won't quote you all the more than the side. Because the kiddush, anyone know why there are five tefillos and ten kiddushin? Five tefillos, one before he puts on each set of clothes. And how about the ten kiddushin? Why are there ten kiddushin? The answer is one when he puts on each set of clothes. And the cloaks are made of chacham lirad, we paskin. One for putting on each set of clothes, one for taking off each set of clothes. Okay, clearly the kiddushin have to do with the begotten, right? For putting on the begotten and taking off the begotten. Not for the avodah. For putting on the begotten and taking off the begotten. That's pretty mafurish in the Gemara, for example. excuse me. Sorry. I'm not going to make everyone turn, but I'll just read you. Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, when it comes to the Kiddushin, it says, Chad Apshita the Big Day Kodesh, V'chad Alevisha. Right? One is for taking off the Big Day Kodesh, one is for putting on. Okay, they're for the Big Day Kodesh. The Tfilos are less clear because the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph says, after all, you have to total when you go from Makom to Makom and from Kodesh to Kodesh. And most of us say makom to makom is nim to machos, machos to nim. Kodesh to kodesh means these begotten to those begotten. So it mentions two factors. But clearly, for the most Rishonim, it mentions the begotten. So he says, it's for the mitzvah of the beast begotten, not for the avodah. That's one chiddush. The second chiddush the Rav says is, what's the second chiddush the Rav says? And here he makes a diuk from the Ravid in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. Does anyone see the rest of my Rambam? Oh, maybe it's here. The Ravid Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perek Ches Halacha Yudbeis, if I'm not mistaken, has a machlokes of the Rambam whether the Kohen's allowed to wear shatnez. One of the big day kohen, the Avnei has shatnez. We'll see that's a machlokes in a couple of weeks. Is the Kohen got allowed to wear shatnez even when he's not doing avodah? So the Rambam says no, and says the Ravid, no kala yom mutar b'mikdash. He's allowed to wear shatnez all day long. Why is he allowed to wear shatnez all day long? So the brother understands. Because there's a mitzvah of wearing the begotten. Wearing the begotten is an independent mitzvah. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says on The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if I'm not mistaken, give me a second, sorry.
That the Kohen Gadol wearing the begadim is a mechaper on Bnei Yisrael.
Yes, and the words in Zvachim Bei Chesam and Bei, is that all the begadim are mechaper, and each begad is mechaper for a different Avera, like where you pointed out. So therefore, the begadim are their own kiyum. Says the Rav, second Kiddush, Kiddush 1, Kiddush 2, Al Pi the Ravid, in Klei HaMikdash, Ches Yudbeis, says the mitzvah wearing the begotten is only during the Yom. Mitzvahs, Levishas begotten, Shayach, rock by Yom. After all, the Ravid says, you can wear it all day. Ah, Kohanim do avodah at night also. Keep in mind, now the Truma Zedesh is at night. Remember, Hector, Chalam, Mavot, they burn. All the leftover beasts, they have to burn on this day. They do all night wearing their begotten. And Truma Zedesh, they do wearing their begotten. There are mitzvahs at night wearing begadim. But nonetheless, the Ravid says only all day long it's mutter. All day long they wear shatnez even if they're not doing avodah. Why? Because at night it's only mitzvah to do avodah. All day long it's a mitzvah wearing begadim. That's the Rav's tremendous chiddush. The mitzvah wearing begadim is only during the day. You have to wear them for avodah at night. But to wear them stam, intrinsically the mitzvah begadim is only during the day. Says the Rav, put these two together. If the 5 and 10, he says, no, Truma Zedesh is totally avodah sayon. Therefore, says the Rav, Trumas Hadeshen is totally Avodas Hayom. Ah, so why doesn't it count for the 5 and 10? Because the 5 and 10 have nothing to do with Avoda. The Xeris Akasa, the Kalachalus Resinai, rather, five Tfilos and Hekidushin is for the Begadim. Truma Zadesh is holding over to Sayom, since it's Malayla, there's no Kiyam intrinsically in the Begadim. The Begadim are only a Hechsher for the Avodah. They're not intrinsically necessary. It's totally over to Sayom. But the Tvila and Kiddush doesn't count. Why do you mean it doesn't count? It doesn't count toward the number because there is no intrinsic value to begadim at night. There's no intrinsic value to begadim at night, and therefore, since Rav, he puts two kedushin together. A, the tefilas bekedushin that we have a lot much we've seen for the begadim, not the avoda. B, the key in begadim, as the Ravid says, I'll read your words again. Kol hayom bunch of mikdash is only during the day. So therefore, at night, even though he has to go over to Zayom, and he has to technically wear clothing, wear garments, Sevig Degun, and he has to technically do Kiddush Yadayim Ragvayim through the Avodah. But it's not a Kiyum of Kiddush Yadayim Ragvayim L'Shem Begadim. Because there's no Kiyum of Begadim, and therefore it doesn't count. Meaning these two answers of Rav are answering in different two ways. The first answer of Rav is saying it doesn't count. Because it's not a kiyum of tvila v'kiddush l'shem avodas hayom. You need the kohen gadol because avodah is connected to the day, but it's not the real avodah of the day. So you have to kiddush and tvila, but not for avodas hayom, so it doesn't count. And here it doesn't count according to the second answer of the Rav, because it's not a kiyum tvila v'kiddush l'shem. Yeah, it's a tefillah and kiddush for the avoda, but that's not what the five and tenor count. The five and tenor count the tefillah and kiddush for shein ha'begadim, and the begadim are not intrinsically significant at night. The begadim are only intrinsically significant during the day. Big kiddush, the rub. That's how he answers it.
Didn't he also say that it's not? It's when you change begadim, and since he does it, he would do the. Truma Sadeshin and Bigidei Levadim, take them off, put on his regular clothes, and the next avoda he had to do, he went back to his weekday clothes, and then he'd go back to his Bigidei Levadim.
So, you mean Bigidei Zav. So I think Morty's saying something nice. I was thinking of that. I wasn't sure if it was true, but if you take the Rav one step further, Morty's saying, if you take the Rav one
I read
step
it, further, that's what you say.
You could say that, no, the Kiyum of the 5 and 10 is not L'Shem Levishas Begadim. It's only L'Shem switching begadim, like a gold before a white before a white after a gold after a white.
Rav says it explicitly.
It's not because there's no kiyum levishas begadim at night, because the gold, the big day zav and tumas hadeshen are not followed by big day lavan. What does he do? Your big day zav for tumas hadeshen, then he puts on his civis, and then he puts the big day lavan on again to shech the tummy. So, yeah?
Not me, it's the Rav says it. That's what he says.
Correct, but maybe you could say since it's not followed by the Big Day Lavan, it's not part of this.
The Rav says it explicitly.
No, he says because he should just wear it the whole time. Who died and didn't? He could be no use in civilian clothes, like when dawn broke. The Rav says, why did he go back to civilian clothes? But we know he did. Right?
That's one of the
correct, but all I'm saying is if you can answer that kasha, you can answer this kasha, I'm saying. I'll tell you what I want to say. I want to be a party pooper.
It's not me. The Rav said it. I just read it in the Rav.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's what you mean by the Rav says. The Rav answered about the Rav says, why switch back to civilian clothes before dawn? Why not just stay in his big gizah through Tumas Adesha? And the answer is no. He needs a kiyum levish begadim hayom. So you have to take them off here for Tumas Adesha so he can have the kiyum of putting on during the day. That's based on this part of the Rav. That's what Morty meant. I'll just tell you, I'm a party pooper. You can call me a party pooper. I really think that if I wanted to defend the Balamor, I would just say something different and avoid the whole problem. I would just say something boring and avoid the whole problem. All the Bali Toso says, who says this? Toso says this. That it doesn't count towards the 5 and 10 because it's at night. I would have just said a little different. The 5 and 10 are counting required to be listed. Required tefillos. The 5 and 10 are counting the number of tefillos and kiddushin he's required to do. Is he required to do a separate tefillah b'kiddush for Tumas HaDeshen? No. He could do tefillah, put on big day zahav, be the kaddish adayim raglayim, do trumas adesh right before dawn, and then go straight to shkiv zatanik. He doesn't need a separate one for trumas adesh. Why did he have a separate one for trumas adesh? Obviously, either way, he doesn't need a separate one for trumas adesh and the tamid. He could do them all in one fell swoop. It's just that midrash gadol, and they told him to do it in the chatzos because the kol should be gadol. And once he does it, chatzos, so he's going to have to, it'll be more comfortable with the chain back in civilian clothes afterwards. So we'll do one tefillah mikdash for trumas adesh and the chatzos, and then he'll switch back to civilian clothes. Then he'll do another one in the morning. But that's not required. Halachos, as we see, is what's required. I'm just saying the number of 5 and 10 is what's required. It's required to do one tefillah and one kiddush, and then he can do trumas adesh and shechitas atamid within an hour. If he chooses to do an earlier chatzos, and therefore change and change back and go to a different place and make more tefillahs for kiddushin for himself, that thing is chazal aren't going to count that towards the count because that's not required. Those are optional. Maybe once you change the schedule, it's required. But the halacha must be seen as he has to do 5 and 10. Let me just give you an example. Let's say he has to go to the bathroom in the middle. He'll have to do an extra tefillah kiddush, right? If he goes to do katan and he has to do kiddush, the Mishnah says, kiddush I would like, goes for gedol, he has to do a tefillah. Did that ruin the 5 and 10? No, the 5 and 10 is how many are required by the day. If he chooses to take a break and go to the bathroom or do this or do that, has to do some extra kiddush and tefillahs, then they're not going to count that. You know, that's coincidence. So I really think, again, I'm against the Baalei Tosfos. What would I have said for the Baalei Mar? I would have said, and again, then I ruin all the lumdus. You don't need any lumdus. I would say for the Baalei Mar, that, and you could maybe squeeze into the Tosfos if you really want me to. I would say for the Baalei Mar that the 5 and 10 count the required tvilos vikidushin. That required tvilos vikidushin. The fact he has to do a tvilos for Trumas Adesh and one for Shkita Zatamid instead of one for both together. That's because he decided to take a break because of the Midrash Rabbanan and Kol Shem Tov. That's like going to the bathroom. Makes the stomach, he has to go to the bathroom at some point. So you need more tefillahs for kiddushin? Yeah, but we're talking about the required ones, not the ones based on the fact that he chooses to make himself a schedule. He can always choose to go outside. I mean, he can just choose to walk outside and they'll have to do another Seder. That's his business. That's not required. And therefore, I really am not mocking the question so much. But firstly, are counting the required tefillahs for kiddushin? And Mida Oraisa, he could do Trumas Hadeshen and Avodas Hatamed without a break. That's obvious. It's only Chol Shem Goyim Gadol that he makes a break. And therefore, again, that's not exactly, but let's say it's not counting since at night. I'm saying it's not counting because it's not required. It's just that we grab one and they decide to give him a recess, so he had to do some extra ones. So that gets into the big machlok to be shown. And technically, if you read the something carefully, there's Trumas Adeshen and Hutsas Adeshen, right? There's Trumas Adeshen picking up one scoopful and putting it next to the Zayach. Then there's Hutsas Adeshen, taking the whole pile and bringing it far outside. In the Pesukim, it only says you need to wear inferior clothing for Hutsas Adeshen, not for Trumas Adeshen. Now, it's not so much to be shown, but at least it's not a kasha. Okay, anyway, that's my answer. My answer is that I just would not have answered the question in the first place. But, you know, I understand it's hard to stick in the Baalei Tosfos. So the Baalei Tosfos, the answer, we're not counting it so lightly. You have to give one of the rabbis two fancy lumduses. You don't have to give lumdus at all. You can just say they're counting the required ones. They're not counting the optional ones. What do you mean optional? It's required once you take a break, but it was optional to take a break. Okay. Now's your chance.
The Ravid in Klei HaMikdash is talking about a Kohen head yot. I don't understand the rub.
That is a very good point. The Ravid in Klei HaMikdash is talking about a Kohen head yot, in the context that's significant. The rub is understanding that the Ravid happens to be a Kohen head yot, but the part about Bayom would apply equally to Kohen God. The Ravid happens to be talking about a Kohen head yot, but the Yom aspect of the Ravid would apply equally to Kohen God. That's a reasonable read of the Raikach.
Well, all the Rishonim that we learned in Yevamos talk about that a Kohen Gadol can wear Big Day Kahuna even Michutz LeMikdash.
But maybe that's only in the day. You never know. First of all, I'm not so poshut. Okay, but I think we're not going to get into this more now. That's a great question. How do you know the Rav made Yom Tafka? Maybe he was just locked Tafka. So that depends. If you're brisker, the Rambam's always Tafka. The Kasha is, you know, when the Rav is tuffled to the Rambam, is he also always Tafka or not? No, he would say, Amalei lo mechor min haGemara hachi, ela mutar tamid b'mikdash. Okay, I understand. You're saying the Rav's a deer if you're not convinced by the deer. I'm also not convinced by the deer, but it could be. Okay, you can like it. You cannot like it again. I would prefer to explain the Balamor in a way that meets no one of this whatsoever. That just says the 5 and 10 that were the required ones. And they could have counted the one before Trumas Adeshen as the required one, or the one before Chitas Atam as the required one. You know, whichever one. The point is, you need one for something you do in the first stage in the morning. If you choose to take a break of 6 hours in between from Chatzos to Los HaShachar, then you're going to need two. And we'll only count one of them, so only one of them was required. The other one was because you chose to take a break. Okay, that's what I would have said. And then it avoids any lumbus. Nonetheless, within the way Balitosis answered, they say something at Laila, then you have to figure out what's going on. And that's why the Rav is attracted to this lumbus. As he points out, there's not great proofs of the Rav's lumbus, I admit. But, you know, the Rav had a certain intuition, and maybe it's true nonetheless. Let's go Vayikra in the Gemara now. Vayikra in the Gemara. Let's start the Gemara. Start the Masechet. Shivas Yavon Kodim Yom Kippur.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Last year we said that the Baal Mahor either thinks that Trumas Adeshen is part of the day or that the Kohen Gadol also does the Avodah at night. Is the Ramban's Kasha also according to the Sfara that the Kohen Gadol also does the Avodah at night? Would the Ramban's Kasha also be on that Sfara?
I think so. If you require the Kohen Gadol at night also, that means you're appointing the night with the day. If you're appointing the night with the day, then it should be part of the 5 and 10.
It's not so clear in his lesson when he says Yom Lumat Laila means Seder Avodat Yom, and if you're including the whole nighttime in Seder Avodat Yom, then also the Tefillah and Kiddushin should be included in the Seder Avodat Yom.
Right, okay. I mean, you're already answering his comment. You know, it could be you're right. It could be that maybe his lesson is more doing the other way. Could be.
That's not how the smart one works.
What?
That's not how the smart one works. I shouldn't be calling between you and Lila.
I can't hear you well, so you might have to ask me later. Okay, Mishnah. Shivas Yom Kodim Yom Kippur, Mafishin Kodim Kodim Geshul Lishkas Par Hedrin, Umaskin Lokon Acher Tachtov Shema Yera Bobsol. Right, we're mafreshim 7 days. That's the topic of the first parak, and we appoint an understudy in case he has a psal, the psal meaning he gets nitma. Then the understudy will step in. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Isha, Cheres, Matkinin, Lo Sheva, Tavod Ishto. We also appoint for him a substitute wife in case his wife dies because he can't do the avodah without a wife. Shenemer Chiradova Ad Beito Beito Zo Ishto. So he needs a bayit. Rulon came in the davar sof. They said to him, no. If you're going to have one wife, then because if you're afraid his wife will die, maybe both wives will die, you'll need a third wife, maybe all three will die, you'll need a fourth wife, and therefore we don't require a substitute wife. Okay, the Gemara we'll discuss later on in the Perek, so why aren't they worried about Eilat Eversof by Tumah? You know, if he's Tumah, then why not worry the second guy will be Tumah and the third guy will be Tumah? Okay, the Gemara will deal with that later. Ha'ara I want to discuss now is there seems to be a machlokas Rishonim as to whether this beso is ma'akiv or not. Says the Tosos Yishanim here on the side. Shema Tavas Ishto, Lushin Lo Yimkin Isha Acheres. Why not have a substitute wife for the understudy Cohen? Deloma Akva. Okay, we don't need a substitute wife, meaning Korah, we don't need a substitute wife. All right, Rabbi Yehuda says, doesn't say you need a substitute wife for the understudy, because the wife's not ma'akiv. Having a Cohen is Godel is ma'akiv. The wife's not ma'akiv. So therefore, it's mitzvah namovkar, it's not ma'akev, it's l'chachila namakev, so we have a substitute for the one Kohen Gadol, but we don't need to worry about a substitute for the second Kohen Gadol because it's not ma'akev. Then he says, "Vafil ma'akva l'kulei haylo hashina shnomis ishto hasheni kevul lo hashini umral misashniya." No, or even if the wife is ma'akev, why don't we make a wife for the understudy? Because why don't we make a second wife for the understudy? Because we're not worried so much that the first kohen will become tamei and the second wife will die, and the second kohen's wife will die. Okay, what comes out of the Tosfos Shana? He's mesufek whether having the wife is ma'akev or is not ma'akev. Chiver bado v'abeso, is that ma'akev or is it not ma'akev? He is mesufek. The Tosfos Rush here is not even mesufek. Tosfos Rush here only has one side of this Tosfos Shana. And he assumes, as the Rapasha, the Afi Loma Akva, Mitzvah Namovchar Miha Ba'inan, that the wife is not Ma'akev, it's only Mitzvah Namovchar. From Tosos, it seemed to me, I can't prove it, but there's a line in Tosos, the Masav Acham Omrim, who said, I'll read you this line if you're listening. Aval hacha mishum the kaparas kol Yisrael pluya bazet nechosh shagilatay to class. Here, kaparas kol Yisrael depends on this wife. Therefore, if we're going to worry about the wife dying, we should worry about two or three wives dying. Kaparas kol Yisrael pluya bazet. It's in him having a wife. So you could say it means kaparas kol Yisrael pluya bazet. If you wanted to be an akshan, you could say no. Kaparas kol Yisrael b'mitzvah namufkar l'chatzilas pluya bazet. You could say that. But a simple shot of Tosos, he says, Kaparas kol Yisrael tluya bazeh. I think the simple shot of that is ma'akev. Kaparas kol Yisrael is literally tluya. Literally tluya means it depends on it. Right? So the simple shot is that we have three opinions here. The mashmos of Tosos, and don't say why would Tosos be different than on the Dash Tosos Tosfos. We know Tosfos Shana is something. Meaning, within the issues of Bali Tosos, this was an unresolved issue. Mashmos of Tosos is that Beso Zo Ishto is Ma'akev, the Tosfos HaRosh is very clear. And it's not Ma'akev, and the Tosfos Yeshanim is Mesufek. Okay, so we're not sure.
I read Tosfos that, not that it's Ma'akev, since it's such a special thing, you want to do it to Hidur.
Right, and I agree.
As I said, it could be. You could say it means Kaparas kol Yisrael tluya ba, not that it depends on her, like, it depends on her. If she's not there, it's not going to happen. Just that it's a big deal, and it's she's part of it. I know you could read it that way, but don't you think the literal reading the word tluya is depends on? Generally, depends on means if it happens. I guess you say the mitzvah of Mofkar Kapara depends on her. Okay, I just think the Pasha, Lomashana, I mean, Tosashana has 2 days, right? I think the Pasha of Tosas is Tluya.
Can you say it actually depends?
But you could say no, the Mitzvah Mufkar, the Lachatkhila depends on her. Okay, well, could be. But not even that.
I mean, can't you say it's talking about the Avoda itself? Just saying the entire Avoda of the Kohen Gadol is so important. And so since the whole Kabar is totally on the entire Avoda of the Kohen Gadol, so we're going to do it the best we can and be Choshesh for every single detail.
You're saying the kapara tluya bazeh means not tluya in the wife.
The voda.
Once the kapara is tluya in the voda of the Kohen Gadol, it's tluya in the Kohen Gadol. Once it's tluya in the Kohen Gadol, then we should try to make sure he has a wife to do mitzvah namovchar. Okay. We're not sure. In any case, there's 2 days in the Tosfos Yeshanim. It
doesn't say tluya ba, it's tluya bazeh.
Could you understand that the first opinion on the Tosfos Yeshanim is dafkat according to Rabbi Yehuda, and then the machloket chacham and Rabbi Yehuda is ishto me'akev or not, and then according to the end of Tosfos, dibor ha'machil v'chachamim umrim, Rabbi Yehuda says it's just a chamer be'alma, and therefore we could be machmir on one thing, and we don't have to be choshesh for everything in she'im lad of ourselves, and chachamim say it is me'akev, and therefore if we're choshesh for one thing, we have to be choshesh for everything, and then what about
that's possible, but it's a big chiddush. Meaning the Gemara gives no hint that they argue about whether it's ma'akev or not. The Gemara later on analyzes in detail what the machlokas is about, and doesn't say they argue whether it's ma'akev. So it's a big chiddush on daf Yud Gimel El. It's a big chiddush that they argue whether it's ma'akev. It's not impossible. It's a big chiddush, since especially Gemara daf Yud Gimel El spends a lot of lines analyzing the machlokas. It doesn't give any hint to this. So I'm not, you know. I hear the possibility, but I don't think it Tosos hints at that, just allows for it, and I'm a little reluctant to make such a big finish. I'll just point out briefly that there's an interesting what underlies this machlokas? We know in general everything in the Avodas Yom Kippurim is ma'akif, right? All the masim that does in Avodas Yom Kippurim generally are ma'akif. the status of the Kohen Gadol is ma'akif. So why? What's the basis of this machlokas? So the basis of this machlokas seems to be based on the Gur Sari, how to read. And it also goes through, I'm not going to go through the purple of Gur Sari. You know, why is X, Rabbi X kosher for Y and not for Z? If it's ma'akif, it's not ma'akif. Do all the calculations. I'll leave that in your own. What the Yisod HaMachlokes? The Yisod HaMachlokes seems to be just, and this is Hashmashat, not a finish, how to read Bithi Perba Adova Ad Beso. The Gur Sari says, maybe you should read Bithi Perba Adova Ad Beso as referring to that specific Maisa. There's a specific Maisa. The specific Maisa, what's Bithi Perba Adova Ad Beso? The Ekriva Koin Depar Chatos Charlo Bithi Perba Adova Ad Beso is talking about the parchatos of the Kohen Gadol, right? The parchatos of the Kohen Gadol, he does two vidois on it, right? Remember, there are three vidois in the, remember from Gong Shul and Yom Kippur. The first, two of them are in the par of the Kohen Gadol. And the third is on the Sarmish Taleach. On the Sarmish Taleach, he's misfounded the Avirus of all Klal Yisrael. On the par of the Kohen Gadol, it says, if you pair, the equivalent is parachatov ashalom chiper v'adov abeso twice. Once he's mechaper for himself and his wife, and the second time he's mechaper for himself and shevet kahuna. And shevet kahuna. So those are the three: one for himself and his wife, one for himself and shevet kahuna. Right? Ani uvesi, ani uvei aron, ani kidel shecha, something like that. And a third is for all of Klal Yisrael. And what does this mean? How is he mechaper twice with the par? So Rashi points out, if you learn Chumash, it's Rashi and Achremos, that b'chiper usually means, what does b'chiper usually mean in the Chumash and in Shas? Physically, kaparas. Dam usually means sprinkling the blood, right? Dam, ki adam hu b'nefesh yechaper. But over here, it's before the Shkita. So Rashi says, kiper means v'dei devarim, right? That's what we know means v'dei devarim, so the kapara that's before the Shkita. So it must be vidui devar. Obviously.
We never actually executed the shit this
time,
no?
What?
We never actually executed the shit this
time. Yeah, sure there is, no? B'shachad is parachatas shalom. I thought so. You know, I mean, I can make up sukkim as well as the next guy. But I thought it said that. Anyway, kitzer. So, says the Gur Sari, b'chiper adoma beso is in the vidui. It's part of the vidui. It's a requirement of the ma'isa vidui that he'd be misvada not just for himself, but he'd be misvada for himself and for his wife. And therefore, what if he doesn't have a wife? If he doesn't have a wife, he wasn't mechayim the mitzvah of bidoy. It's like he skipped the bidoy. And he points out the pshat in the Gemara later on in Daf Mem is that the bidoy is not ma'akev. Only the masim are ma'akev, not the tibor. The bidoy on the pyre is not ma'akev. So the question is, what's this rule of beso? So if you say beso is a specific detail of the mitzvah's vidoy, then clearly it should not be ma'akev, because the vidoy is not ma'akev. However, and here later on he goes back to this and analyzes it slightly differently. If you say specific detail mitzvah's vidoy, then it's definitely not ma'akev. But if you say that, no, it's not. What is the lush of the Rambam? The lush of the Rambam is fascinating, is that all of these avodos in Avodas Yom Kippurim, says the Rambam, I'll just read you his lushon. I think we've seen that lushon at some point this summer already. Says the Rambam in the very beginning, he says, Avodas call all these behemos, etc., etc. Hakol osim kon godol nosoi. Shenemar yikher ba'adol ba'beso, beso zo ishto. You could say it's not that beso is a detail of the mice of people. Beso is an iglainosa. It mentions beso. That means it's describing what kind of kon godol you have. What kind of kon godol you have? You have a kon godol with a bias. So it could be a specific detail of mitzvah's vidoy. Or it could be, no. And Igloi Milsa of the type of Kohen Gadol required. The Lashon of the Rambam is very much a Gavardic Lashon. The Gemara never used the word Nusman. Just says you need Beso Zomishto. But the Rambam says a Kol Kohen Gadol Nusman. Okay, if it's telling you what kind of Kohen Gadol you need, then Pashas, what kind of Kohen Gadol you need, is fundamental to the whole, it's not just about the Vidur. It's fundamental to everything he does. And what if the Kohen Gadol isn't in the right garments? Then the whole thing is Ma'akiv. What if the Kohen Gadol is some other soul? Then the whole thing is Ma'akiv. So then, you would think that it should be Ma'akiv. So Lech'ora, the Yisod of the Machlokas here, is how to read between Parvado and Beso. The Char has a chance of throwing in what he knows of what kind of Kohen Gadol we're talking about. If so, then it's Ma'akiv. The wrong kind of Kohen Gadol. Or is it that the Torah is describing a specific Maisa Vidoi? It means a Maisa Vidoi of Adoba Abiso. In which case, it passes the Vidoi, and in time it's been a book, because you haven't done the Vidoi properly, but the Vidoi is not Ma'akiv. Theoretically, you could say, perhaps in between, you could say it's not about the Maisa Vidoi, but it's about the Kafara Sapar, not just the Vidoi. The Par Befal, the Par needs to be Mechapra, a love. But the Pashup shot is that you think either it's about the Vidoy, or Aniu Bixi, as we say in the Seder, in the Master rather, or it's a Gloy Milso kind of going Gadol. The Nafkamina might also be the fascinating discussion of the, which will really tie into the Gloy Dr. Gimel, does he need to be married the whole day, or only in one essential moment of the day? So the Gros Ari is specific about this. When does he need to be married? Yes, that could be another Nafkamina. Another nafkamina of, if the specific detail of mitzvah is vidoy al hapar, I don't mean the other vidoy, then he only needs a wife bishas vidoy hapar, or maxima apuntas hapar, but then you would say he needs a wife all day. Technically not all day when he does the avodah, right? All day, which is clearly the shita of the Rambam, which says all these avodas have to be done with the Kohen Gadol Nasri. Okay, so there are two ways to understand. Either it's a specific inyan of the vidui of the par, or it is a general tier of the Kohen Gadol. Interestingly, it's always hard to tell, you know, again, Tami Amitzos, we're talking of the Rav, we're never Kovea the Lundus, but everyone who gives Tami Amitzos always talks about the type of Kohen Gadol. It's never at the specific Avodah of the Par, not the Vidoy of the Par, not the Avodah of the Par, Bechlal. So I write, so I give you a few nice examples. There are many, many Mefarshim, including the Kolbo that I wrote here, says, why? It's because he needs Paspasalo to avoid Hirhur Avera, right? A bachelor is prone to Hirhur Avera. He has a wife, he has pasta salo, he's free from Hira Avera. So why is it another to be married to save him from Hira Avera? Or he has to be a holy guy. He's a pagami, your holiness, if you're a bachelor, because you're prone to Hira Avera. Or Rav Hirsch always takes it in a more positive way. He says, no, it's because only a married person is a good example of our values and what we believe in, right? We believe in a family person, you should make a bias, be strong. And a Kohen Gadol who doesn't have a bias is not, now again, it's a little unfair, right? But right now, you know, it's like a lot of places, right? Some places, again, it's not politically correct nowadays, you know, they won't hire a rabbi who's not married, etc. Schools won't hire, you know, even school won't hire a kibbutz rishi if you're not married, etc. Why? Because, like, you're not an example of, you know, what you're supposed to be when you're an adult, etc. Okay. Whether that's politically correct or not, and whether there's a reason that's logical or not, is for another time. But the Zohar, it goes to town, seems to make it sound like even a Kohen Gadol can't do a photo all year long if he's not married. Matter of fact, there's some places in the old days that had the minhag you couldn't dukkan if you weren't married. So he says, right, Zohar, you can remember on my prashma adam b'yom hibar on, that you're only shalim for another. If you're married. Okay, it's not like on how important it is to be married. Those are just general madrega of the gavra. The gavra's on a different madrega if he's married than if he's single. Okay, so please forget about the Zohar for now. who let Kohanim or sing Kohen. But the Kohen Gadol has to be on the highest Madrega. He's not a different Madrega if he's married and if he's single. That's very different than what the Gevurah Sari suggests for the Tosfos Rosh for the first day in the Tosfos Yerushalmi. He says, no, it's something specific about the power. What's specific about the power? He has to do three viduys, one for himself, one for himself and the Kohanim, and one for all of Klal Yisrael. But there's a problem. It can't be such thing as just for yourself. You always have to have some expansiveness in his avoda. And therefore, even for himself, it has to be for himself and for his bias. That's a very specific thing about the par. The par, and specifically the first vidur in the par, as opposed to the second vidur in the par, is very selfish. It's only for himself. And that's necessary because you have to be mechaper on yourself before you mechaper on others. Rashi says many times, but there's a requirement of a certain expansiveness even within the vidur in the par. Okay, that's very different than. No one says that in all the sort of philosophical Mefarshim Tanya Mitzvos. All the Tanya Mitzvos talk about the Madriga of the Kohen and assume it's in also of the type of Kohen. And according to the Gevurah Sari, it would seem that then you would need it to be all day, that's clear. And it would seem more logical you'd say it's the Hakif. I'm not saying it's Mukher, but it would seem more logical.
I guess somewhat similar to the Sinchit, a little bit different. You could say that it's for the power of the Vidoy, but having a bad Vidoy is not the Hakif all about that. Because even on Dachmed, when we say that if you don't need any Vidoy, it's okay, that doesn't mean having a bad Vidoy.
Correct. And it's also not even so Pasha that we that we possibly not have. Correct, you could get out of it. And a Hanami. Okay. I just want to make that Ha'ara, and then we'll go on to the Gemara and talk a little Paraduma. I just have half a shiur left for Paraduma.
Can you clarify one detail for me, please?
Yes.
I may have missed it. Just, where do we know that the Vidoy is not Ma'akev in the first?
So the Gevurah Sari quotes that from Daf Mem. It's certainly Pashup Shot in Daf Mem that Vidoy is not Ma'akev. The Gevurah Sari just on the Makorah, she quotes it from Daf Mem that Vidoy is not Ma'akev. Mitzvah lahagril. I mean, that's what it says. Mitzvah lahagril is fine. Those low Hebrew below is fine. They're kosher. Okay. Yeah. Correct. It could be where the people technically could be that the Vidoy in the Sari, not the Vidoy in the Pirate. Get out of it. But certainly the verse already has Pashup Shot on the side. So I think it's possible. It's not more to analyze it this way, but I think it's definitely the most common sense way to analyze this machlokas. That they're arguing about, but Beso is a specific detail, a specific stage in the avoda. Why? There's one specific stage in the avoda, which is purely one person, and that has to be expanded at least somewhat. Or no, it's just the Madriga, the Gavra, and it happens to be thrown in here.
Aside from the question down in a second, is there anybody who actually says that's a specific detail perspective?
The Gevurah Sari says it, not in Tami Mitzvos and Lamas. I said in Tami Mitzvos, no one goes this way. All the Tami Mitzvos go this way. The Rambam's clear because he says all things, even lighting the menorah, even everything. Very, very clear. We're calling God a Lashon. He used the Lashon of the Gavra and he explicitly applies it to every single thing he does, not only things in Achrayos. Everything he does all day long. Okay, going on to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam. Shivas Yom Kodesh Vayis Zapara Hayim Afrishin Kohen Asar Zapara Mibeisel the Lishka Shapnei Abirat Zafona Mitzracha. Right, that there's a parallel, and the next few blot are going to be discussing that parallel. Right, also 7 days before they obviously it's not exact parallel, it's not a certain date of the year, but whenever they were ready for 7 days before they're ready Shef Zapara, there's the Mafrish the Kohen Asar Zapara to a certain Lishka Alpnei Habira Zafona Mizracha. That's Alpnei Abira in the northeast. The Lishkas Beisa Evan, I said Nikras, it was called Lishkas Beisa Evan, Velamin Nikras Shema Lishkas Beisa Evan, Shkola Sabbath, Kli Lulam, Kli Abanam, Uvichli Adama. Why are they called Lishkas Beisa Evan? Because everything you did there would be using Kelim and Art Makabal Toma, right? In many parts of the ritual part, they would use Kelim and Art Makabal Toma for obvious reasons, because you don't want it to be Nitma, because this is the source of power for everyone. If it's Nitma, it's muscle. So it's just good common sense, although we'll see it's more than that. And there are three kinds of kelim l'arav mekabel tuma: klei gvulim, klei avonim, klei adama. The according to most mefarshim, klei gvulim means made out of dung. According to most mefarshim, klei adama means made out of earthenware, like pottery, but not fired in a kiln. And stone kelim. And why would they use stone kelim here and not the other two? You don't have to be a landon or an engineer to realize that it's just the other two kinds of kelim are not such good kelim. You know, kelim made out of dung are not such good quality. Kelim made out of earth that was not fired in a potter's kiln is not such good quality. But stone kelim are nothing to do with what we call stone. You go to the Macy's and buy stone or that's pottery. That's glicheris. But actual stone kelim, like you find in the Birch House in the Old City, Those are top quality kelim, very expensive, and not mekabel tumah. So obviously, that's what they would use.
This might just be a not so linguistic point, but it's sort of surprising that the Mishnah here says kodesh sreita sapara, but there's not a day. Like, there's Yom Kippur, but there's no designated day for sreita sapara. So you would think it would just be like a separate the kohen, and if he doesn't come tameh, good, then you get your parah. But he doesn't come tameh, so like, okay, so get another kohen.
Yeah.
Or later, wait for later.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't bother me. 7 days before they do. Well, I said 7 days before they do.
Why don't they just ask the court? They talk to me. Says, yeah, like,
good. No, because you need a chalos afrasha.
Okay, so then 1 day afrasha.
No, you need a chalos 7 days afrasha.
Okay, so it has to be that there's.
Yeah, the simple shot is, so far we'll assume, there's a halos, we'll assume for sure the halos 7 days afrasha. So I quote the rice for about halos 7 days afrasha.
That's
just
practical. There's also a certain functional role that you've got the long kipper that it's not serving when it comes to paradigm. By Yom Kippur, by paradigm, it's got to be, it's only for the halos shame, for whatever, you know, kiyom is. By Yom Kippur, there's also the practical point of there's a specific day you have to tell.
Correct, correct. But that's just coincidence. Okay, so and my time, why did they make this takana that you have to use clay avonim? If dwell avonim, it should be nizra from tuma. Came into yom kosher repara, ditznan, agav. I'm not getting into the rishonim here, go to town and all over shas. When they made this takana drabanan that you have to use stone kalim, obviously, if you're rice, you don't have to use stone kalim, you just have to be careful. I would have thought it's good advice, but it's a takana drabanan, that's good advice. When did that apply? Only in the 7 days beforehand. Even when he's doing the ritual of paraduma and mixing the ash with water, even afterwards when he's transporting the water, okay, big machlokas, but at the very least, until straight vasapara, he has to use all kayavanim. And if you look at the mission in Parah, it's not just him. The people who go bring the water, for the people who bring the cow, it's not a problem. Because the cow's alive, it's not a couple of them. The people who bring the water also use stone kalim. Okay, so clearly, at least until the ritual of paraduma, they have to use stone kalim to make sure everything stays tahar. Why? Came to yom kasher v'parah. It's not a time in hayu akoin of service of parah. Umat bilan osol lahotzim yudim shel tzedukin. Shayom v'roi serit. Shemesh ha'yisa nasis. Tekinu l'arbanu kli glo kli avanu kli adama adilo. L'kablu toma ki hechi glo l'zalzulu ba'lapa. It was to make up for another takana. There was a machlokas midaraisa between the tzedukim and the prushim, that's us, that we know a tful yom. What's a tful yom? A tful yom is someone who was tameh, tovel that day, and what it say in the chumash? Uvashemesh v'taher, he has to wait for nightfall to be tahor, le'inyan achilas truma, certainly le'inyan kutshim, for most things he has to wait till nightfall to be tahor, says the tzedukim, haradum is hachi achi, is the most tahor thing in the world. For sure, you have to be totally tahor and wakeful nightfall, meaning not be a tful yom, rather be the opposite of a tful yom, which is a mu'urav shemesh. They said, b'mu'urav shemesh ha'isanases, and we darsha from the psukim that a tful yom is kosher for para from the ektor tahor, that you only have to be minimally tahor, a tful yom is kosher for para. So, lahotzi mi'liban shel tzedukin, obviously, mid'araisa, there doesn't need to be a machlokas, meaning practically, we could just all use Mu'rabe Shemesh, people who've already waited for nightfall, and everyone's happy. But we don't want everyone to be happy. We want everyone, that's the difference between Judaism and the contemporary world outside us. We don't want everyone to be happy. We want everyone to be correct. And it's more important to do the right thing than to be happy. And therefore, we would davka have a tvul yom, lahotzim levan shel tzedukim, to point out to drill in the disagreement with the tzedukim. And therefore, they would daft him atami him and put him in a mikvah, and he would, before nightfall on that very day, burn the paraduma, and that way it would be a holtzim in the tzedukim. However, since we daft him, make him a full yom, we're afraid people might take it too far and take it lightly and not be careful at all and just say, Tom and Tara is not a big deal for para. So therefore, we have to make up for it by making a takana le'idah pisa, psychologically, so people will know we're against the tzedukim, but we're still very machmir on the tara of the paraduma. So we're mitakim only use stone kalim and aren't mekabel tumah, so that people see how serious it is and take it seriously. Fine. One interesting
thing. Weren't they mitamahim with the sherets? The kalim stuff, they have to worry about tumas mace to getting to him.
I'm not sure why Thomas, they had to worry about Thomas Mace getting, yeah, okay. But I'm not sure what you're trying to say with that.
No, I'm saying that the full yom is he's metame with the sheretz in that day. Then he can be tful yom. If he happened to be metame mace, he'd have to wait the 7 days.
Correct.
Which is why they put in the 7 days.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. Correct. Now,
Rabbi.
Yes, does anyone have a phone, by the way, and know how to take pictures?
Rabbi.
Okay. See if you can minimize the reflection. Yes.
Other Ochlim Vikalim are not Mitame Odom. So they really were Marchik Lechet here.
Correct. They were really Marchik Lechet, correct.
Okay, I just want to understand.
But it's just a psychological point. I mean, it's just to make a point, so that's fine. Right? Joel points out that Kalim are not Mitame the person anyway. So it won't be the problem. Although Midrabanan, they could be Mitame's hands a little. But the point is just make a point. Now, what's the international locus? Morty was controversial today. Why was he controversial today? Because he said they were timing him with the sheretz. Who finds that objectionable? Who finds that disgusting and abominable?
Tosfos.
Says Tosfos, chas v'shalom, they were timing him with the sheretz. No chance. I mean, they could have been. But really, they're going to put tumah d'oraisa on him and make him a tful yom d'oraisa? That's going too far. Says Tosfos, no way. La b'tumah d'oraisa b'tam v'leg lo b'zal v'kuli hai. No, they wouldn't go that far. rather, samchu yideyem al rosho. They just have other kohanim touch him. And there's a rule, a chumer d'rabbanan, that people who are not prepared for paraduma. Remember this rule, d'rabbanan? Anyone who's tar for tara, someone who keeps tumah b'tara just for eating their food b'tara, is considered tumah to the truma people, because maybe he wasn't careful enough. And someone who keeps tumah b'tara for truma is considered tumah for the kachim people, because they don't trust him to be careful enough. Someone who gets tumah b'tara for kachim, like kohanim, is considered tumah for the para people. Okay, these are all tumah d'rabbanan b'yamla. So Tov says it was only a tumah d'rabbanan of what we call big day, ochlei, Kodesh, Medris, Le Para. Right? Big day of like Taros or Medris, meaning we assume not only them, even their clothing is an avatoma to the purpose of eating Truma, and Big day of like Truma or Medris, Le Kodesh, and Big day of like Kodesh or Medris, Le Para. So here we have a much focus, but who says like Morty? Is Morty just an Apikoris who's going against all the Rishonim? Or is he a Tzeduki? Or
Rashi.
I don't agree with him.
Rashi and Chagiga.
Rashi and Chagiga and the Rambam in Hilchos Para. Right? So here, what kind of Tvul Yom was he? So Rashi and Chagiga, Rashi doesn't say anything here, he doesn't have to. And the Rambam Hilchos Para says Sheretz. Tumah Sheretz, a Tvul Yom Doraisa. And Tosos all over Shas says no, just Maga Ochlei Kodesh. No, just they touched him. the Ochlei Kodesh touched him, and Midrabanan, even Ochlei Kodesh, are considered tame for someone who's preparing for para. Okay, so here, now, is there a so to this machlokes? I can't promise you for sure if there is a so to this machlokes. You could just say, stop. On the one hand, they want to make a real roshan that a tful yom does it. So maybe they should make him a tful yom d'oraisa. On the other hand, they don't even zazel so much, they still want to respect these extra zahiras, so maybe they'll make him tful yom d'rabbanan, shalma yisrael. Could be there's no yisrael. Could be just a judgment call, but maybe, right, Jacob and Yoni suggested, Jacob and Yoni, right, that maybe there is a yisrael to this machlokas. Maybe it's tam, maybe it's just a judgment call. They're balancing, wanting to really disprove the tzedukin with not wanting to be too lackadaisical, or not wanting to rather appear too lackadaisical, but maybe there's a yisrael to this machlokas here. So I can't prove it, but maybe you could say, maybe it is A, maybe they're arguing fundamentally. How would they be arguing fundamentally? The question is, everyone remembers this word from the Gra, the Pesach Seder, right, Ben Russia, Lahotzi Milivin Shel Tzedukin, who are they trying to convince? Are they trying to convince the Tzedukin? Or they're trying to convince the masses not to listen to the tzedukim. Right? Who are they trying to convince? Because what's the problem? As all the Rishonim point out here, the tzedukim might not be terribly convinced by the fact he's a tvul yom of Maga Ochlei Kodesh. Because they're not motivated that's Tomei in the first place. Right? So maybe you'd say that what's the point? What's the goal of Lehotzi Milivan Shel Tzedukin? One shot is the goal of Lehotzi Milivan Shel Tzedukin is to convince the Tzedukin. If it's to convince the Tzedukin, then it has to be a Tful Yom, which they acknowledge. Perhaps. Not more, but perhaps. Then, if it's to convince the Tzedukin, then maybe it's only effective if they admit that he's a Tful Yom. What are we going to convince the Tzedukin? How are we convincing the Tzedukin? It's not an intellectual argument, but we're convincing the Tzedukin with peer pressure. They think a Tful Yom can't make the para. We make a big party and big publicity and have the reporters with their cameras showing a Tful Yom do the para. They're going to be intimidated. They're going to be worn down. They're going to be pressured. And maybe they'll just give up on this. They'll say, okay, we lost. The Tful Yom did the para. Mela, let's move on with our lives. So if we're trying to convince the Tzedukin, then it might make sense to say, no, you have to use something which they would admit is a Tful Yom, like someone who talked to Sheretz. If you only have other Kohanim touch him, they'll say, ha-ha, he's not really a Tful Yom. You Rabbinites, you think he's a Tful Yom. He's not really a Tful Yom. We're all happy. Right? You won't be convincing them if they don't admit he's a Tful Yom in the first place. But if you say the point is to convince the masses, no, the Tzedukim are farfalim. We're not going to convince the Tzedukim to be Orthodox. They're stuck in their ways. I mean, maybe we will, but not through this. Just by doing something they don't hold from, we're not going to change their mind. However, what about all the masses out there who are not Prussian, not Tzedukim? They're like Pashut Jews. I don't know. They try to do whatever seems to make sense to them, but what do they know? And they hear these rabbis saying something that sounds good. They hear those rabbis saying something that sounds good. So we make a big show. Which way are we doing the Beis HaMikdash? Then maybe that will win them over. That'll excite them, and they'll want to, you know, even subconsciously. Everyone wants to bet on the winning horse, as it were, jump on the bandwagon. So if we're trying to convince the masses, or even doing the chazik ourselves, then it would make sense that anything we call a Tful Yom would suffice. Okay. Again, it's certainly not mukhrach, but it could very well be that it's right. You know what I mean by the grunt, right? There's a famous grunt, the Pesach Seder, who says that it's a very harsh grunt. Okay. And if someone were to say, how could the grunt say this on the Pesach Seder? Shouldn't the grunt be like all those other Jewish thinkers who were always accepting and tolerant and open-minded and took everyone where they are and valued the good in everyone? So I'd say to them, that's other people. That's not the Gra. You ever read the Gra? But, I mean, there's, yeah. But, what did the Gra say about the Ben Rasha? Say, Afda, Hakeh, Shina, Ba'amar, Lo, dot, Ilu HaYasham, Levo, Lo, Ilu HaYasham, Lo, and Egal, is not to convince the Ben Rasha. No, Ben Rasha's far following. We're not going to convince him. It's to convince the Tana, the Shema, the Elishal, not to follow the Ben Rasha. Okay, so that's the machlokes here. If we're trying to convince them, then we have to do something which they admit is tummy, like a sheretz, which is in the chumash, which is in Shuna Shal Mikra. And then we make him a Tful Yom, and then in Midoraisi, it's a Tful Yom. It says that Torah, that whoever touches the sheretz is tummy. It says in the Torah, Uva Sheretz or Torah, you need Hari Shemesh. Then we've really proven to them that we're going against them. If we're trying to convince ourselves and everyone else, to Mechazik ourselves and everyone else, then it's enough to have a big, because the mice, one second, we treat him as a Tful Yom, and that's good enough. And if this analysis is correct, then I have no proof that Tosfos holds the other side of the Spekira, but I did find a proof after Jacob and Yoni suggested this analysis to me, their analysis. If it's wrong, I take responsibility. If it's right, they get credit. I think it's a nice analysis. Rashi Menachos clearly works well with Shitase. To Menachos Samachem and Aleph, when we do, obviously, Menachos Samachem and Aleph, what are we doing against the Baitusim there? Sfirat Homer, right? That we start Motzei Pesach and not Motzei Shabbos. Rashi says two places there. on Samachem and Aleph that it's not to convince the people in between. It's to convince the Baitusim. No more, he says, Kol Ayor Smuch Hashem is consuls, all the cities gather together, Hamul Gedola Sheyavino HaBaitusim. So the Baitusim will see, Shev Motzei Yom Kippur Tzroso. That the Baitusim will see. And then he says again, on Daf Samachem and Aleph, he says, let me find the Dibur Maschel. Yes. HaKotz Ragbim Kolam, they shout, Kadei Sheyishmu Baitusim. So the Baitusim will hear them shout that they're doing Tzira Salomer. Behotzing and Limon. Rashi clearly holds this to convince the Baitusim. So then that works out well. Rashi Lishitasei, and I have no Tosos Lishitasei. You know, I found like, you know, one or two modern day Rabbanim who want to say, oh, this is what Tosos holds. But, I mean, I can say it without. I mean, it's Jacob said already. Then it would be Rashi Lishitasei. And Menachos Daf Samachei Amen Aleph, where he says twice, it's so the Baitusim see what we do, not so that everyone in between sees what we do. Okay, that could be a fascinating Hakira. The whole thing we should do, we do so many things just to show that Tzidukim are wrong. Why do we have to show that Tzidukim are wrong? Why not just do the right thing ourselves? Why is it such a key to show that they're wrong? I understand we have to do the right thing. Why go to extra lengths to show they're wrong? So it could be Hakira. Maybe because we'll convince them. Or maybe, because we'll be mechazek all the masses who are in the middle, who aren't sure who to follow, maybe who are following us, but are having sfeikas in their heads, so we'll be mechazek ourselves. Okay, two different
kinds. Could it be to make a mesoret?
A what?
Could it be to make a mesoret? Make sure that in a few years, when it's Dukim and trying to convince everybody, then it's clear that this is a lacha.
Ah, you mean to be mechazek our mesoret, so that will be... prophylactically. Yes, okay, that would go also in Tosa's side of the country. It could very well be. Yeah. I would say same basic idea.
Rebbe?
Okay.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Rebbe? Yes. Can I be the diet from the fact that it says Lahotzi Miliban Shel Tzedukim like Rashi?
And it does. The simple shot seems to take it out of the hearts of the Tzedukim, meaning to change their hearts, to take their Shitas out of the hearts of the tzedukim. So it's certainly the simplest read is like Rashi. And again, I can't prove to you there is another possibility, meaning in any classical makaros. So the simplest read would be like Rashi, the whole team be Liba and Shel Tzedukim. But it could also very well be that Liba and Shel Tzedukim mean the das of the tzedukim, the thoughts of the tzedukim. To be motzi, Liba and Shel Tzedukim, to be motzi ourselves from the daya of the tzedukim. Remember, Lev is daya, not regish. In Chazal and in Tanakh. So I think you could go either way. The whole thing is to take their fear out of their hearts and out of their minds, really. To take their opinions out of their minds and remove that opinion from their mind. Or no, Lahotzi to, you know, like when we darshan, oh, Lahotzi this, Lahotzi that. To exclude the opinion of the Tzedukim. To exclude the minds of the Tzedukim. Meaning to say no one should follow them. I think you could go either way. Okay, continuing the Gemara a little. Says the Gemara. My shnatzvona mizracha, why davka northeast? Kevin de chatas hi vechatas tu netzofon uksiv ba'al nochach b'nei ol moed tekiel ha'rodo lishkatzvona mizracha yigla ha'valeya keira. Why davka northeast? Because Paradum is northeast. Why? On the one hand, we all know why Paradum is east. Because v'hiza el nochach b'nei ol moed. Right? If you have to, anyone know where they did the Paraduma? On Harazesim. Why Harazesim? Because it was the east, right? Because you have to face the doorway, face the opening. The opening's in the east. Obviously, they have to do it in the east. So that explains why it was the east. Why north? Because it's called a chatas, right? Lamei nida. You saw the dust nation of the chatas, right? It's called a chatas. And, excuse me, it's called a chatas. And a chatas has to be shechted with tzafon, right? So does an Olin, so does an Asham. But Chatas is one of the Karbonas that be shechted with Tzafon, because it's Kachim Kachim. And therefore, since it's called a Chatas, and a Chatas has to be shechted with Tzafon, they made it with Tzafon and with Mizrach, so it'll be a Heker. Now, here it gets a little tricky. What is the point of this Heker because it's called a Chatas? So what's the tricky part? If you say you want to be in the Eastern Chamber, because it's very important to remind everyone that it has to be shechted in the East. It's not shechted in the north, it's shechted in the east, right? It's called the Chatas, and Chatas shechted in the north, but like, who cares? Like, why is it important to read? It's not Shecht in the north. Oh, it's just a hecker that it's called a chattas. Why so? What's this hecker? Why is it so important to know that it's called a chattas? So, what is going on? What is going on here? What is so important, right? What's the hecker, right? Ma ho'eles ha-hecker shel tzafon. Right? Who cares? Meaning it's not Shecht in the Tzafon. Mizrach is the Shecht in the Mizrach. There is no Din Tzafon by Paraduma. It's just an association of association. Paraduma is called a Chattas, not a Chattas, it's called a Chattas. And Chattas is the Tzafon. But why is that so important to remember? Why is it important to remember something that's an attribute of something that shares a word in common with Paraduma? It doesn't actually help us do the Paraduma. So what does Rashi say here? Rashi sort of escapes the question. What does Rashi say? What is it reminding him of? What's the hecker? The hecker is that he's doing paraduma. That for all 7 days he should see that he's in the northeast. And remember that he's there to do paraduma. Why is it important he never do paraduma? Because he should be zaris. He should learn and prepare himself to do proper paraduma. So for Rashi, it's a general hecker, right? So one sheet is Rashi. Rashi's main sheet is the general hecker. It's not a specific hecker that has something to do with chattas and something with tzafon. It's just general hecker that he is preparing for paraduma. So we put him in a corner which has two directions of paraduma, so he'll always think paraduma. Okay, general hecker paraduma, not specific about chattas and tzafon. However, the Tosfos shut him in the rip. I didn't put the rip in the cover sheet. He said he said. They say no, it's something specific. He specifically has to remember that it's a chattas. It's called a chattas. It's not a chattas, it's called a chattas. Why does he specifically have to remember that it's called a chattas? Again, you don't do any chattas things with it, right? You don't put it on the corners of the back with your finger. Why does he have to remember it's called a chattas? What does Tosfos Yeshanim and the Ritva say? Lishma, correct. Anyone who remembers, anyone who's here for Zvachim, we weren't here for Zvachim. Remember from elementary school, when you learn Mishnayis, what's the first mission in Zvachim say? Kol HaZvachim Shenizmachu Shelo Lishman, Ksherim, .. Chutz min achatos v'apesach. All zvachim that yishecht shelo l'shman, yishecht an ola l'shem shlamim. A shlamim l'shem ola. An asham l'shem b'chor. You know, a b'chor l'shem chatos, whatever it may be, are all kosher. Or yishecht rumen's ola l'shem shimon. Or whatever the case may be, they're all kosher, except for achatos. Achatos shelo l'shman is pasol. And here's a halacha. It's a true halacha. I don't think anyone argues with it. Since paraduma is called a chattas, if you shecht the shelo l'shma, then it is pasul. If you shecht the shelo l'shma, it's pasul. And that's an important thing to remember. Right? So it's very specific. What? Okay. No, okay. When I said shechita, I didn't mean davka shechita. It's all the things. Shezar Lasos has a oseha l'shma. It's interesting. He says has a oseha. Look, you can ask that question on everything. He needs a reminder in 7 days with stone Caleb. What is it locked up in a special room in the mikdash? Is a reminder of anything? Okay, you know, it never hurts to reinforce. You're saying that's the advantage of Rashi? Okay, in any case, when you talk about the Shechita versus Nazah, the Mishnah and Parah and the beginning of the Fourth Parah, Shechita and Hiza, it equates them both. I'm going to assume that he's not trying to pick one against the other, just to give an example. When he's being
sprinkling the part,
no, because he doesn't do that more than a he doesn't do that. He just prepares the ashes.
No, he gets sprinkled before he goes to the other.
You don't have to get sprinkled, the Shema.
What? The center for every part of it was your first sprinkle with.
Yeah, but there's not. You know, there's no din of Lashma by being sprinkled with water. What? Yeah, that's not the same as Lashma. And that has nothing to do with chattas. I don't know. That's far afield. I'm not some Kabbalah. I hear the time of another Kabbalah. So specific.
The shrita, can the shrita be by Azar, by Paraduma, like other karbonas?
It's a machlokas. Ah, sorry. Good point. Good point. Morty's saying that if, since it's a machlokas, and it could be that someone else would check, then only he would do the hazah, that's why Tosh Shem picked hazah. Okay, you're absolutely right, Morty. Tosh Shem picked hazah, because hazah definitely has to be done by a poet, as opposed to shrita, which might be kosher with hazah. So that's why it's a good example. Absolutely. That's why he picked hazah. The shrita also needs to be the shrita, but that's maybe, that might be someone else's business, not his business. That's a good, that's the right answer. sorry. yeah, here's the Ritva says, Shetzarch l'chavin bo l'shmak in chas and shkat b'shafon. Yeah, he doesn't say any particular bone, but you're right, Hazah is better than Shkita, because Shkita might be with someone else. Okay, so, so they say, just remind you to do a l'shmak, not just, you always have to do everything l'shmak, but that's fine l'shmak akev, but it's really, really important to do a l'shmak. The Rambam has an interesting formulation. The question is to make something of it or not to make something of it. What does the Rambam say in Hilchos Para? Para Duma, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, says the Rambam, definitely not Rashi. Halishka she Yosef Bakal Shivat, Sfonis Mizrachis Haisa, Kelaz Kiro, Shehi Kechatas HaNishchetes Batsafon, Afalpi SheNishchetes Bachutz. Notice what he does here. He pulls an Afalpi. He says, Mizrach is hinting at the fact that Shechet Bachutz. Right? Because where's Mizrach? Mizrach is Mizrach of the gate. Bachutz. Outside the Azara. And the Tzafon is hinting at the fact that it's a Chattas. And what's the Chiddush? Even though Shechet Bachutz, it's still a Chattas. I mean, it's not like Rashi. Rashi says two positive things. It reminds you it's a Para. Mizrach reminds you of Para, and Tzafon reminds you of Para. Okay, Tosh Yishanim doesn't commit himself. And the Ritva is clearly two positive things. The Ritva is also two positive things. Mizrach reminds you you have to do it with Mizrach, and Tzafon reminds you you have to do it with Shema. For the Rambam, no, Mizrach is the negative, and the Afalpi came is the Tzafon, even though it's done machot, and you might think that it's not a chatos, it's still considered not a chatos, but ki chatos, hanishchetes batzafon, Afalpi. So the Rambam is a different way of reading Mizrach. Mizrach is not something to remind you of. It's like the Havamina for you to mess up. Because it's the Mizrach outside the Azara, you might think it's not like a Chattas. You have to teach it to itself and it's still like a Chattas. What the Rambam doesn't say is, why is it important to know that it's Kechattas? Right? The Rambam just says, his Lashon is, Laz Kiro Shehi Kechattas. Which is B'tzafon, even though it's the Machot. So what does the Rambam mean? Question mark. We're not sure if it means indifferent. Last hero, Shehi Kechatos, right? Which is B'tzafon. Right? And there's something very important about the chutz for the Rambam. Even though it's done b'chutz, it's still like a chatos. Right? What does it mean to remind you that it's like a chatos? Clearly, it's not Rashi reminding you that it's a par. Adrami, he's reminding you not to think that since it's a par b'chutz, it's not like a chatos. But he's reminding you a very specific thing about the parah. The rabbi's clearly specific, right? Not reminding you it's a parah. Reminding you that even though it's a parah and it goes b'chutz, it's still kechatas. What does he mean by kechatas? You could say he means the same as Tosh Shem and the Ritva if you want. To remind you to do a lishma. That's definitely possible that he could say to remind you to do a lishma. Why doesn't he say to remind you to do a lishma? Not sure. But I think that if you're very, you want to be very diklosh to the rabbi, he doesn't say to remind you to do a lishma like kechatas. And then it's a little funny. To remind me, even though it's b'chutz, you should do the shema like a chatas, is sort of a funny thing. Because davkich is b'chutz, you would have thought you should do a shul shema. You know, you could stick all this in the Rambam, but it doesn't flow naturally to the Rambam. Flowing naturally to the Rambam, you wouldn't say, well, once you know it's b'mizra b'chutz, you would have thought to do a shul shema. Come on, well, it's g'chatas, but it's up, that's check the b'tzaf on and do a l'shma. Sounds more like the Rambam, it's something very fundamental, something, you know, very fundamental to identity. Even though it's b'chutz and it has nothing to do with karbanos, it's the opposite of karbanos, it's not even a mikdash, nonetheless, it's like a chatas. Question is, what does the Rambam mean by this? Now, I can't tell you for sure, but I do want to put two and two together with another Rambam, because there's a famous machlokas, there's a famous machlokes rishonim about the nature of paraduma. To what extent is paraduma like a chatas? Meaning, what does a chatas do? Obviously, the main thing a chatas does is it's mahakir. Okay, shuto shel shas. The main thing a chatas does is it is mahakir. So, is a paraduma mechaper or not? There's a famous theory in the Gemara whether a paraduma is mechaper or it's not mechaper. Because our Gemara says, in the very next thing we're about to get up to, our Gemara says that a little later, that kasher asoba yom hazeh on our amud, tzivashen lasos lechaper aleichem, bishlom lekuli krava par lomitokam, seven lines from the end, lechaper ksevu para la bas kaparahi. Right? Par is not for kapara, it's for tara, not for kapara. But on the other hand, in moikat and daf kafkes, par is not for kapara, it's for tara. On moikat and daf kafkes, the Gemara says that this is parsha, right? Vatama shamir yam, right after paraduma. Vatama shamir yam, vati kaver sham, ma paraduma is mechaperis, ma karbonis mechaperis, like paraduma, af. Misa Sadiq and Mechaperes, right? And the Misa Miri is Mechaper, just like, and it's a striking Lashon when we find out about this. What's striking about the Lashon? Let me just read it to you, make sure I'm getting the Lashon right. The in the Gemara here, and the Gemara here, in Daf Chavches, Amud, Amad Aleph here says at the top, Ma paraduma mechaperes, af misotra shol tzadik mechaperes. Straight out, paraduma is mechaperes. So here we have a problem. How can it say, do I cut in that paraduma mechaperes, but yet it says in Yoma that it's la baska parahi, it is mechaperes, or it's not mechaperes, right? It's a good stira. So the Tosos there says, "Al ma'isa ha'egel." What's in the chaper? It's mechaper al ma'isa ha'egel. Because we know Rashi was Moshe Darshan that the mother comes and cleans up the mess made by the baby. Mechaper ma'isa ha'egel. Okay, it doesn't really help so much. So mechaper ma'isa ha'egel. Then why does our Gemara say it's lav bas kaparahi? Meaning, what's mechaper on? It's a good question. Tosos says mechaper ma'isa ha'egel. So why is I going to say Lav Askapari? When it's Mechaper Maisa Egel. And there's lots of the, you know, read the Beis Halevi, right? It's a very nice word. Why is Mechaper Maisa Egel? On the Cheva Egel. So the Gevurah Sari here gives two answers. He doesn't like the first one, and then he goes to the second one. His first answer is that, no, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Mechaper and Cheva Egel, because that was a generation of Cheva Egel. But afterwards, the people worship the Egel. Not Mechaper and Cheva Egel. It was only one time Mechaper and Cheva Egel, not Ledoros. So what is the Kapara? Right? Kaparas, Para Aduma, and how do we know there's Kapara? Moed Kata and Daf Kofkes of an Aleph says Toskos, Chet HaEgel. Oh, then it's really a Mechaper. It's really a Chatas, says the Gevurah Sari. To explain Yoma, the base of an Aleph, he says, number one, only para Moshe Rabbeinu. And number two, he says, that's not the real halos of the para. Really, the para comes for Tara. He calls it Mikufya. It's just a side effect that it's not Baal Lechaper, right? So he says, no, it's not Baal. Lechaper, it's and the chalos is not for kapara, just has a side effect of kapara. Kapara's teta ego. That actually works very nicely with Gemara Mekutan. Af misa tzadikim mechaperes. What do you mean tzadikim mechaperes? Like we should take tzadikim and like shoot them in the head so they get kapara and it'll be a ritual and feed them to the volcano god or whatever? No, obviously, why did tzaddikim die? Tzaddikim died because human beings die, because Allah Fartami, Allah Fartashah, because they're Moshe Rabbam, and because Hashem wrote the world in all kinds of complicated ways, and, you know, there's a reason why tzaddikim died, and it also brings kapara. Not that I should go and kill tzaddikim every day as a karma. No, tzaddikim died because they died, but as a side effect of kapara. Likewise, paraduma is there for tara as a side effect of kapara. If so, then is it really much of a chatas? It's not really much of a chatas. However, the Rambam says something surprising in Hilchas Paraduma. Says the Rambam in Hilchas Paraduma, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. And here, if you learn Zvachim, this resonates with you, right? It flashes in neon lights. Nishvatal l'shem chulin tipadeh ve'ena michaperis. If you shecht a paraduma l'shem chulin, not l'shem a different carbon, but l'shem chulin, then it can be redeemed. Even though if you shecht the mekashros, it can't be redeemed anymore. It's not bar pidyon. Ve'ena michaperis. It's not michaperis. It's no good. Now, this Rambam is striking in many ways. How many ways the Rambam is striking? Number one, what do you mean, a mechaperis? That implies that a regular paraduma is mechaperis, right? They say, this is possible, it's not mechaper, as opposed to a regular paraduma is mechaper. That's what we have from this Rambam. No paraduma, who says paraduma mechaper? But it's not like that. It's not a side effect of kapara. Kapara is just a nice hashkafic, agadic side effect, like the verse of wants to say. It's a cute agadic drash of a side effect, like Mises Tzadikim. Then that wouldn't be in Hilchas Parah. It wouldn't make a halachic difference. He's saying, halachically, this paraduma doesn't count, and you could be poda it. It's not valid because it's not machaper. What he's saying is kapara is essential to the halos paraduma, not a side effect. That's why it has halachic nafkaminas. If you had shechted it l'shma, it wouldn't be bar pidyon, and you could use it for the ashes. If you shechted shalom l'shma, you just poda it, and you can't use it for the ashes. The kapara is ma'akev. If it's not machaper, it's ma'akev. Now, this is the only place in all of Hilchas Para that the Rambam used the phrase Eina Mechaperis, but I'll tell you why. Because what's the din of Chatas Sheshachta L'Shem Chulin? Who remembers Vachim? If you shech the Chatas L'Shem Ola, it's possible. What if you shech the Chatas L'Shem Chulin?
Sheva.
It's kosher, but it's not Mechaper. He has to bring another Chatas for his sin. This is not fed. Chatas L'Shem Chulin is not fed anywhere in Shas. Nowhere in Shas is, sorry, Para L'Shem Chulin is not found in Shas. Nowhere in Shas does it say par l'shem chulin. Nowhere in Shas. All we have is that par is like a chatas. And this Mishnah asks, hold on, chatas l'shem chulin is kosher. Why isn't it kosher? Right? What did the Rambam say? No, a chatas l'shem chulin is kosher but not mechaper. So too, a para, since it's called a chatas l'shem chulin, is kosher but not mechaper. What do we do with the par that's kosher but not mechaper? The adversary would say it's kosher. The kapar is not important. Kapar is not essential. Kapar is a nice agadic drush for the rabbi's servant. The Rambam thinks, no, the kapar is ma'akim in paraduma. The kapar is ma'akim in a paraduma. That's a big finish. That kapar is ma'akim. And that's why we only discuss kapar here. Because every place else, his model, every place else he has a gemara that says pasul or kosher. So he says pasul or kosher. Over here, the gemara only says kosher v'ein ma'akim. And he doesn't know what that means. Some people would doubtless say, it means kosher, and who cares about the chaper now? It's kosher. Kosher is good enough for us. Says the Rambam, no, kosher, ve, kosher, kosher, being a chaper means it's no good. You're poda and you don't use the ashes. So the Rambam here is a tremendous skittish. He's way against the Gemara Sarbi. He obviously takes the Gemara and Cotton very, very seriously. Right? Says the Rambam, he takes the Gemara and Cotton very, very seriously. Says the Rambam, says the Rambam, no. Aleph test, par aleph test. He says, no, para is mechaperes, as it's ikur chalos. And therefore, nishchita l'shem chulin is kosher v'eina mechaperes, which turns into Kashem Eina Mechaperis, what does that mean? Turns into Tipada, and it's not, and Tipada, and basically Pasul, right? Turns into Tipada, and not Tipada, don't use the ashes. You're Poda, you don't use the ashes. Meaning, the Kapara is not even a Para. A Para that's not Mechaper, that as a model of chatz not mechaper is ma'akev. It doesn't work at all. That's a tremendous chiddush of Rama. The Rama takes the Gemara and Katan very, very seriously. That a para is coming to, that a para is really coming mechaper. The kapara is ma'akev. What I want to say is, this Rambam is Lashitase. This Rambam, why is this Rambam Lashitase? I want to say this Rambam is this Rambam. What did the Rambam say? To remind you that even though it's done b'chutz, it's a chatas, what might you think? You might think, once it's done b'chutz, it's like, you know what, you need a kohen for Taras Nagoyim. And you need a kohen for a lot of things. You need a kohen for Pinyon Aben. So a lot of things a kohen does b'chutz. Yeah, that's not about karbanos. That's not in the realm of karbanos. That's not in the realm of chatas. Not in the realm of kapara. Kapara can only be done b'fnim. But we have an exception. Interestingly, how fascinating, what are they, according to the Rambam, that there are only two kapparas that are done b'chutz. What are they? Sir Lazazel and Kapara Duma, which are the two things in this Gemara that are compared to maybe the beginning of Sabbath Yom, right? Maybe you need to be 7 days inside before you do something b'chutz. I'm not sure. To remind you of where your focus is and not to get too chutznik, not to become a chutznik. But that's a speculation. Don't take that too seriously. but it is a fascinating parallel. But the Rambam, I think what the Rambam means is something much deeper than Rashi or Tosfos in the Ritva. Not to remind you that it's a para. You know it's a para. Not to remind you Shechtet L'Shma. No, to remind you of the basic yesod of the lumnus. Don't think like the Kurs Ari that it's not really Mechaper and that the Gemara Moed Katan doesn't really mean and it's just a cute sermon. No, it's really Mechaper. Oh, it's done b'chutz. Have to be Mechaper. This is the exception. And even though it's done b'chutz, it's really Mechaper. Mechaper on what? Here it's interesting, I would put the Rambam together with the Rambam of the Morning Vuchim, the Shitase. Again, you know, just the Rambam says the Morning Vuchim doesn't mean it always necessarily translates into Lamdas, but here I think it works with Shitase. What does the Rambam say in Morning Vuchim? Something wild. He says, why is Parah called a Chatas? Because it's a wild Rambam of the Morning Vuchim, says the Rambam, and with this we'll end, even though we didn't get to everything. He says, why? Because after your tummy, you shouldn't be allowed to go to the mikdash and eat kachim forever. It's a wild chiddush. I would think you can't go to the mikdash and eat kachim until you're nitar. He says, no, you can't go to the mikdash and eat kachim forever. Also, how does the taras para duma work? The para takes on the chid of tumah just like the tzitz. The nasa, aronis avana kachim, the tzitz takes on the chid, is mechaper the chid of tumas karbanos. Likewise, the para is mechaper the future chid of going in tummy. It's a wild chiddush. You would have thought, what's the chait? When I'm tummy, it's a big chait, I'm chayav pares. Once I become tar, it's not a chait anymore. Says Rambam, no, once you're tummy, you shouldn't go to the mikdash forever. There's always a little chait going to the mikdash forever. No amount of tara can let you go back to the mikdash. What did the para do? The para gives you kapara for this little bit of chait of going to the mikdash after you were nitma once. And that's what he says. And then he says, just like Sarah, and then he says, that's why the part of mitami you were deals with it. Not because it's mitami tar, mitar tova. Like a sar mishtal leach, because it has a lot of avodas on it. Says the Rambam and the Moreh, says the Morgan Vuchim, he says, no, the chait, knisa lemikdash, acha shenitma, pam achas bechayav. I think that works beautifully, the shitasei. For the Rambam, it's a tremendous chiddush. I would say it's not a chait once you're tahar. Says, no, even when you're tahar, it's a little bit of a chait. It's not that the Parah Duma is the time it takes away all your Tumah. Nothing can take away Tumah's face. What the Parah Duma does is it gives you permission that even though you have Tumah's face, you can go to the Mikdash anyway because it's Mechaper the sin of going to the Mikdash Tumah. Now that's a very tremendous sketch. None of us would have said that in a million years, but it's a Mefurish Rambam. The Rambam then compares to Tarvashal after five I said before, but I think the Rambam works very nicely. It's not a Kapar for Cheha Egel. We were born when there was a Cheha Egel. Give me a break. No, a kapar for cheda egel, come on, that's ma'akev. And if it's not ma'akev for cheda egel, it's not going to be tar. We understand why it's ma'akev. We understand why it's ma'akev because the whole tara comes from kapara. It's not a tara independent of kapara. Right? Two different models. Here it's tara with a side dish of kapara in quotes. No, here it's tara al yidei kapara. The Tara only works through a Chapara. Why are you Tahar? Because you can't really be Tahar. But you're Tahar enough that you only do a little sin by going to the Mikdash, and it's Mechaper the little sin, and now you're totally gone when you go to the Mikdash. Tremendous finish of the Rambam, but I think the Rambam works beautifully with Shitase. Three Rambams with Shitase. Number one in the Moreh, he says it's a real Kapara for real live people. And not only that, the kapara is the engine that drives the tara. That makes sense that in Hilchos Parah, the Mishnah Torah, if there's a gam in the kapara, then it's not the tara anymore. The kapara is not the tara, it's not a side effect. And then I think that makes sense what the Rambam says here also. It has to remind you of this subtle lundish yisod. You might have thought it's pure tara, and if there's any kapara, it's a nice sermon on the side. No, the teacher that it really is like a chatas. Ironically, it really is like a chatas. Even though it's bachutz, it's really mechaper, and it's very important that Kohen Gadol to know that, because the only way it's mechaper that lets you go back to the mikdash after Tumas Meis is through being a chaper on the sin of going to the mikdash once you've been nitma once in your life. Theoretically, no one has been nitma once in their life should go to the mikdash. That's how holy the mikdash is. But it's mechaper v'nasa aron as avon kachim v'nasa paras avon. Here, tremendous chiddush, but then all the Rambams work l'shitase. Okay, there's one part we didn't get to yet. We'll have to fill it in next time and go on in the Gemara. Everyone who has questions, please feel free to ask. Whoever doesn't have questions, please feel free to go eat lunch. And I will see you all on Thursday.
But the kapara is always tied to avodah adam.
There is a little Saddam here, Morty, right? He takes the dam and he's mazes seven times with his finger towards the Olam. Okay. There is a Avodah Saddam. It's just a very strange Avodah Saddam, because it's Bachutz. And none of us would have thought that it's Mechaper. How can Avodah Saddam Bachutz be Mechaper? But apparently, the Rambam says that's what we need to be reminded of. It's a tremendous kiddush, but it can't be coincidence, all these weird Rambams, in my humble opinion. I mean, it can't be anything can be coincidence, but we're not supposed to believe in such things.
Thank you.
It works very well with. For the Rambam, there's no kasha from the first perek in Yoma, because at that moment, it's not Mechaper. It's like a hachana for the kapara.
And, right, what we didn't get to is how does the Rambam answer up our Gemara in Yoma, which says it's not bas kapara? If for the Rambam, the whole yisod is that it is bas kapara. So Shmuel wants to say, it is bas kapara, but it's not kapara in the past, it's kapara on the future. And therefore, that's not called l'chaper aleichem. L'chaper aleichem means what you did in the past. My argument is kapar, what you did in the past. And that is only Yom Kippur, but not the paraduma.
Clarification on the point. You're saying that the kavanah is ma'akev though, or it's just more of a philosophical thing, or of just.
I'm
that,
saying it's just more of a philosophical thing. I'm saying Minastam, if he just has Lishma for mitzvahs paraduma, that's good enough. But he should know what he's doing. Obviously, Lechatchila, he should know what he's doing, right? Although I would admit that as long as he has Lishma for para, that's probably good enough to deal.
Okay, as in, because you could argue back the fact, like, we're putting the location of it, which is, I guess, it sounds like it might be a somewhat of a significant detail of the Avoda, but we're doing it for something that's not a Chiyub in any way. It's more of just the. I'll say in a sarcastic way, a nicety, if you will. It's on the side.
What do you mean by I didn't follow you.
I'm saying is that I would say the an argument back. It's not a strong one, just an argument back on the idea is that we're establishing that the location of the korban of the para is going to be based off of something which is nice, not a chiyuv or something that's ma'akev. It's just something that's nice for him to think about, essentially.
Okay, fair enough. But look, they have to put him in a room somewhere, so they pick the northeastern corner just for something that's nice and educational and deepens his avon of what he's doing. That's fine with me. Meaning, they have to put him somewhere. Picking the northeastern corner doesn't cost money, right? Sure. They're doing it to teach him, you know, the amkus of what he's doing. That doesn't bother me. You know, if you told me they sequestered him in the first place for that reason, maybe. But Mela, which corner they pick, so... It's good. It's a very good reason to pick one corner.
Fair. Thank you very much.
Can
you
say
do you want to repeat what you said before that didn't come out?
Say again?
Do you want to repeat what you said before that didn't come out that was garbled? I don't remember what it was.
At the beginning of the sure.
Remember when I couldn't hear you?
No, I think. No, you heard enough. Okay. Can you say even further for the Rambam that at the beginning, when you're shochet the paraduma, it's not mechaper then? I mean, how you understood me a minute ago, that was one chiluk I thought of. And now another chiluk is that when we're shofet the paradigma, that's not the hapner at the moment. That's a hechsher for the mechatat that's going to be the hapner and all these yechidim afterwards. For Tosfos, it's the hapner at the moment, and then...
Yeah, but I know, because the whole Rambam I was based on in Perek Aleph Alam Tesavilvus paradigma is about shechita l'shem chulin. Right? So that's all in the shechita.
Because it's still a hechsher.
What?
Because it's still a hechsher for something
that's because the shechita... Right, perhaps I have to think about it, because after all, Shkita and all karbonos really hechsher this week as dama, which really mechaper, as we know from the beginning of the of Tvachim. But I hear it. I just want to think about it a little more.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
A few times over the past 2 shiurim, we've been reluctant to compare lumdus with tana mitzvah. What's the difference between them?
So I wouldn't say reluctant to compare. I would say reluctant to create an if-then relation, a strict if-then relationship. The reluctance is that basically the Rav's philosophy, unlike what you would get if you read, you know, Rav Meir Simcha, or if you read the Rugachever, or you know, any other big rabbi who lived in Dvinsk, I guess, is that the Rav did not believe in you start with the Chakira, Tamei HaMitzvos, and then all the halachas flow from that. Because Tamei HaMitzvos are, I would say, for 2 reasons. Number one, because Tamei HaMitzvos are very fuzzy. There's probably a better philosophical word for that. It's often hard to pin down, like, exactly what the difference between one and the other is. And they're vague. They're very vague. And therefore, it's hard to draw strict conclusions from them. And also because the main yesod of the Rav is that you have to start philosophy with lumdus and not with Tamei HaMitzvos. And if anything, you have to dayik with Tamei HaMitzvos from the lumdus and not the lumdus from the Tamei HaMitzvos. But because the Rav held that just lumdus has a higher epistemological status than Tamei HaMitzvos, that Tamei HaMitzvos are speculations and lumdus is an actual scientific quote unquote fact. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying there's a chakir about Tamei HaMitzvos. The nafkamin and the philosophical chakir of Tamei HaMitzvos is, you know, these 2 ways of seeing the lumdus. Rather, it's that there's a chakir in the lumdus. A nafkamin of the lumdus could be what Tamei HaMitzvos you then prefer to say. So now I've said 2 different things in the last few sentences. What are the, let me just review the 2 things I've said. One is completely. Number one, because I want to be clear that it's not there's a chakir in Tamei HaMitzvos, and then from the chakir in Tamei HaMitzvos, you derive the lumdus. But there's a chakir in the lumdus, and from the chakir in the lumdus, you derive the Tamei HaMitzvos. Mm-hmm. And number two, because we do have cases, you're not going to escape at a certain point cases in Shas, where the Tamei HaMitzvos is one thing, but nonetheless, the way it's chal for maybe formal technical reasons is going to be slightly different. You know, just because in a legal system, at the very least, in a legal system, whatever the Tamei HaMitzvos are, the laws have to have just a neat conceptual structure, which will sometimes betray the Tamim that left the Tamim that were behind that law. Even in a secular legal system, Lahavdil, right? There's a jurist we call philosopher of law, once said, here I will, just because I'm on YU Torah, I'll clean up the language a little. He says, the law is a donkey. That's a principle of English law, that the law is a donkey. What do we mean by that? What we mean by that is that you can't go to the reason and say, I'm going to paskin based on the Tamei HaMitzvos, because the law takes on a formal life of its own, just in formal categories, based on which categories are conceptually able to be dealt with. So that's the 2 things I mean. Number one, to understand that you can't get lumdus from Tamei HaMitzvos, vice versa. And number two, that sometimes the lumdus will not necessarily match the Tamei HaMitzvos, because the Tamei HaMitzvos is one thing, but the way you can enforce that is a legal category and deal with it in some neat way that you can apply it in practical to practical cases is going to be more formalistic. So that's why I'm always a little reluctant. You know, anyone who, you know, was even within 2 steps of removed from the rug is always very, very afraid of
lumdus. Is anything that describes it in practice, like the concept, like
yes, that the rug.
Go back to Goethe.
Tamei HaMitzvos is why this is a why this didn't exist, and lumdus is what this din is telling us. the why and the what. That was the litmus test for the Rav. Why versus what? Lumdus is the what. Now, it's a very fine line, but I think the Rav was correct. That means you say he's correct, that it's a valid line nonetheless. What versus why? So you could say, is this a din in the Gavra? Is this a din in the Maisa? That's a question of what. The why is, you know, already philosophical. And the Rav was very makbid to focus more on the what, and even of course, the Rav is a master of connecting. The Rav is a master of connecting Tamei Mitzvah to Lumdus, but he always gave epistemological priority to the Lumdus and then derived Tamei Mitzvah, not vice versa. The uniqueness of the Rav, I think, is that I've never heard of any Jew. Joel can tell me if I'm wrong. I've never heard of any Jew more than the Rav who said so many times in his life, "I am not talking philosophy. I am talking Lumdus." And nonetheless, he ended up talking philosophy. That was the brilliance of the Rav, that he could start with pure Lumdus and end up with better philosophy than people started with philosophy. And none of us are in that madriga. But nonetheless, he wasn't a game. He wasn't fooling us. He really, really meant it sincerely.
Rebbe, can I ask you questions? Can I ask you two questions?
Absolutely.
The one thing is just on this last issue, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Mikvos, when he talks about no correlation between the Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara and anything in the real world, that they're all, I mean, the Rambam seems to disagree over there with this connection of requiring Kapora for Tumah. But I don't know, I think we should look into it. But more
you're asking a bigger question, which is that the Rambam and the Rav Buchan explains all the Tumah V'Tahara, you know, for all kinds of reasons. And yet the famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Mikvaos, meaning the end of Sefer Tara, discusses how really it's all a Gzeiras HaKasav, and then gives a drush to it, which is a totally different drush, which is the Tfilah B'mei HaDa'as.
This is a big argument with the Apikorsim too, whether there actually is an Iser of Tumah, whether Tumah, or it's just Gzeiras HaKasav.
Right.
It has big ramifications.
You're bringing up a very big issue in Tumah V'Tahara, and it could be we're not going to solve that issue today.
The second question is, I know, I realize that, but the second question is that the Rama, the parish that the Rav gives to the Ravid in Ilchus Klei HaMikdash is almost impossible. I mean, the Beis Halevi argues with it, I remember from Yevamos, the whole diyun there is whether a Kohen Hedyot, the Rambam passes that a Kohen Hedyot can't wear the Avnet, even though there's no Isur. But he can't wear the Avnet Shalobu Shas HaVoda, even though the Kohen Gadol can wear the Big Day Kahuna Shalobu Shas HaVoda.
Right.
So the Rambam is calling on the Rambam even by Kohen Hedyot. And then there's this whole brisket Torah about the difference between Kohen Gadol Shalobu Shas HaVoda and Kohen Hedyot B'Shas HaVoda.
Right, I'm just not sure what that has to do with what we discussed today.
But there's nothing to do. The Hara is not about a Kohen Gadol of the Ravid. It's talking about the Hara of the Ravid is talking about whether a Kohen Hedyot, Shalom B'Shas HaVoda, can wear the Avnei.
Okay. Let me be clear as to where we're miscommunicating here. The Rambam's whole Vard is he's Mechalti and Kohen Hedyot and Kohen Gadol. That's very clear. The Ravid, you're reading the Ravid as he accepts the Rambam's chiluk din Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot. He just argues about the details of Kohen Hedyot. The Ravid differently here. The Rav's reading the Ravid as he denies the Rambam's chiluk din Kohen Hedyot and Kohen Gadol. Legamre, he equates them both. And therefore he's saying, I equate a Kohen Hedyot to a Kohen Gadol by saying he's Mocha Kolayon. By saying,
the same place, it says, it says Kohen Gadol miniach b'idei zav v'lishko shelo v'layla or b'ei sheyotza min ha-mikdash, and then he says b'idei Kohen mutar le'onot b'hem, and then only in Yud-Bet he's talking about this difference of the Avnet.
Adrav, and now Yud is great for the Rav. Why does the Kohen Gadol have to put his b'idei zav in his lishka at night? Because there's no mitzvah to wear them at night. Adrav, you've just supported this Rav.
No,
there's no mitzvah at night. Even the Rambam admits no mitzvah at night. Maybe it's not even a heter at night. What does he mean, put it in the lishka at night? That means that he shouldn't wear them at night.
Or if he walks out of the mikdash, you can only wear them in the mikdash. What is he doing?
Exactly, but only in the mikdash during the day. Look what you just trapped yourself in.
But he can wear them at night. He wears them. He wears them in chatzos on Yom Kippur. He wears the big day to do
only
the truma
tzedek. Only the tzar chavoda. Only the tzar chavoda.
That's very. I mean, the Beit Halevi is cholek on his great grandfather. He can be. I mean, I can't, but he can.
Yeah. Look. The Rav and the Shurim here in Yoma specifically quoted the Raiva, did not quote the Rambam. So he understood the Raiva as saying Ben Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Hedyo. There's only a Kiyum by Yom. That's clearly
what the Rav. Even though you look at the Kochavit, yeah, that's not the Rambam and not the Raiva. But when he says they're also the Kohen Hedyo, the Lo Shem Elu B'Shat Avoda, that's where the Ha'ara appears.
Yeah, the way he's reading the Raiva is saying, you, Rambam, are differentiating Kohen Hedyo from a Kohen Gadol. I am equating a Kohen Gadol to a Kohen Hedyo to a Kohen Gadol. Therefore, he understands whatever the Ravid says about Kohen Hedyo, the Ravid took his over Pashut by a Kohen Gadol. When the Ravid says Kohen Hedyo X, he means Pashut Kohen Gadol X. I'm being Mechadish to Kohen Hedyo is also X. So whatever the Ravid says about Kohen Hedyo, he thought was obvious and goes without saying about Kohen Gadol. That's how the Rav's reading the Ravid here.
So the Ravid would hold that a Kohen Gadol. The Ravid would hold that a Kohen Gadol can't wear the big day kahuna vayom shelo b'shas avoda. Oh, he could.
No, he can't wear them at night.
That's very strange. Okay, so, I mean, I can't.
But obviously, that's what the Rav's saying. You don't have to macabre it.
It's very strange. I mean,
the truth is, my personal main hesitation with this Rav is just that I want something to some other raya, some other halos to like bring a proof that there's some connection between Gadim and Day other than this Raivid. Like by some other smach of the connection between Gadim and Day, I can handle that. It's just a deek in the Raivid. But that's how he's reading the Raivid. The Raivid says, Kohen Hedyot is Mutar Kol Yom, like a Kohen Gadol. That's how he's reading the Raivid. In which case, a Kohen Gadol is also only Mutar by Yom.
Okay.
As you pointed out in Aloha, hey, the Rambam might also mean that, or might not. He might just mean when he went to sleep at night, he put him in the lishka, because everyone has to sleep at night. Or he might have meant the chalos difference in day and night.
But he put them there when he went out of the mikdash. If he went for a walk during the day, he had to put them there too. So, I mean, it doesn't mean no mitzvah by yom.
No, there's a mitzvah by yom in the mikdash.
Okay,
All right, the Seder.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a great day, everyone.
Rabbanish, one question if you still have time.
Sure, of course.
Okay. There's a Talmud at Rashba who understands in the Rambam that the Talmud is the first thing the Kohen does, and he understands from that Nira de Soverab, Shilohaya Tovav Lomikadesh, and he doesn't do anything before the Talmud, and he attacks that. He says, Sidur Amaracho, Tishun Mizbech HaPnimi, Hatavad Hanerot, or Avodot Kemurot, and it's impossible that somebody else, some other Kohen does those. It must be that the Kohen Gadol does those.
Okay, he's just holding like the Balamar against the Rambam.
But what does he think? What's the Rambam holding, though?
No, the Talmud Rashi was arguing on the Rambam. The Rambam holds the Kohen Hedyo does the Dishim Zeh HaPnimi and the Trumas HaDeshen. I thought that was very clear, because the Rambam of Odos Yom Kippurim says we do the Trumas HaDeshen and the Dishon HaMizbeach, like every day. Like every day, I assume, the Kohen Hedyot, right?
But again, the Talmud Rashba is now mechalik between the Trumat HaDeshen and the other things. He says, if you would have said just Trumat HaDeshen, I would have understood you. Right? You'd just be like,
You're saying Trumat HaDeshen, you understand, but Sidim HaRacha and Dishon HaMizbeach, not. Now I understand what you're saying. In other words, Trumat HaDeshen, he can handle Kohen Hedyot, do it. But see the maracha not. Why? That would actually
avodat kmurot.
What?
He says they're avodat kmurot. How is it possible?
And Trumas HaDeshen is not an avodat gemura?
So avodat laila might not be avodat gemura?
See, that's what I was thinking. That Trumas HaDeshen is really avodat halayla, because it's finishing up yesterday's karbanos. But see the maracha is clearly today's avodah, right? And Dishan Mzech HaPnimi is clearing it out for today's avodah. There's no special, you know, you could say. Or maybe Dishon HaMizbeach he understands as something else. You know, it's not clear in the Rambam it's Pnimi or Chitzon. Anyway, that's a nice part. If you say what's unique about If you say that what's unique about Truma Zadesh is that it's really yesterday's, that it's really about Laila, then, well, the Ramban already discussed. Then why can another coin do some things? Only Hechsher Avodas Hayom. But the Ramban would say, no, Hechsher Avodas Hayom has to be done by the coin Gadol. Avodas Laila has to be done, can be done by a coin head yod. And Truma Zadesh is today.
The Talmud Rashba would say, not the Rambam.
The Talmud Rashba, yeah. The Truma Zadesh is from yesterday. But Sidur HaRacha is clearly for today. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. That's a good Ara. Shkoyach. The Talmud Rashba Alatari?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, great. I'll check it out. Thank you. Shkoyach.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, have a great day, everybody.
No, sorry. It's on Daf Lamed Aleph.
Daf Lamed Aleph. Okay, great.
I think it's on Daf Lamed Aleph.
Where did you find it? You have a looking,
COVID? Kovashita Kamai, of course.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Okay, Shkoyach. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.